Glad to see you on this third Sunday of Advent, and some of you are looking very sparkly. I like the crown this morning. Others of us not so, but it's lovely to see you anyway. I'm not sure if we got any notices this morning. Looking round, no. So this morning we will have some songs and we will have some time to listen to God through Jenny, and you'll be invited to stand up or sit down, whatever you feel most comfortable with. But the most important thing is that you relax and you know that God is here with us and he wants to bless us and he wants to inhabit the praises that we give to him, because it says that in his word. So isn't that wonderful? So we're just going to start the service this morning. I'm just going to open with prayer. And starting off with these wonderful words from Isaiah, which say, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And Father, we just come and we just thank you for these wonderful words. Lord, we thank you for all the prophets and how you use them to foretell the birth of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that you are here with us. And Lord, you love each one, you care for each one here today. And you just want to bless each one. And we want to bless you now, in your name. Amen. So we're going to stand or sit and sing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. There in the dark street shineth the
be seated. So I'm going to need some young people, some volunteers. Oh, Freya's got her hand up already. because I've got a task for you to do. One, two, three. So, can three of you? Yeah. Lovely. Well done. Thank you. Okay. So, who likes Christmas crackers? Yes, they make a great big bang, don't they? So, I don't know if you've seen one this big before, but I want you to help me to open it. But first of all, Freya, can you read what it says?
To Sandbach Baptist Church from Father God with love.
Okay, so who's going to help pull it together? You might need all of you to pull it, or you might need to do it at the top. Oh, well done. So let's see what's inside. Can you pull it out? Yeah. Oh, what's that? Chocolates. Celebrations, and it's that time of year. We've got some other things in there as well. So it's that time of year where we celebrate, don't we? And what does that say?
Joy. Is it joy?
Joy.
Joy. That's right. So it's a bit small, but can you see that? Joy. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. And then we've got something else. We always have a message, don't we? Inside. So who's going to read this out for me? Can you read that out?
She doesn't know how to read anything.
Oh, okay. Shall we help you, Freya? Or do you want... There you go.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10.
Lovely. Thank you, everybody. Brilliant. Okay, well done. And then we've got another story for you. So yesterday was the birthday of Jack and Ori. So when I was growing up, I used to love Jack and Ori, and it was the 60th anniversary of Jack and Ori. So Dave and I are going to be telling you a story. So, Dave, are you coming? Okay. So.
Sound team. Can we have number one lifted, please? Thank you.
Okay, so some of you may have heard this story. Maybe. It's called The Grumpy Old Owl and the Joy of Christmas.
Typecast.
There once was an owl who lived in an empty barn. It was cold, damp, and most of all lonely, just the way he liked it. He was a grumpy owl. One night, the owl was rudely interrupted by a man, a woman, and their donkey bursting through the door.
What are you doing in my barn?
Hooted the owl to the donkey. The guest room was full and she's having a baby.
Well, she's making way too much noise.
The owl was growing angrier by the second. But this is a special baby, explained the donkey.
I don't give a hoot. This won't do.
With a flap of his wings, he was off to find somewhere to be alone. The grumpy owl landed in the rolling hills on the edge of the village.
That's better.
Suddenly, over the hill came dozens of excited sheep and their shepherds. Have you heard, bird and sheep? The saviour of the world has been born in a barn.
Who told you that?
Angels appeared in the sky and told our shepherds, isn't that amazing? We're going to see him now. Won't you come and see him?
I just want to be left alone,
the owl replied. The sheep hopped, joining the parade of laughing, singing and baaing.
This won't do.
With a flap of his wings, he was off to find somewhere to be alone. This time the owl flew a bit further to an empty desert.
That's better.
Out of the dunes marched a camel. Have you heard the King of Kings has been born? He murmured.
Who told you that?
These humans saw his special star.
I don't give a hoot.
We're bringing him gifts. Won't you come and see?
I just want to be left alone,
the owl huffed. As a camel padded on, he was followed by a line of camels and wise men following the light of a star.
This won't do.
And with a flap of his wings, the owl was off to find somewhere to be alone. This time, the owl flew further than he'd ever flown before until he reached a frozen land on the very end of the earth. Finally, a place where he could be left alone.
Perfect.
Out of the snow sneaked a fox. The creator is doing something special. Can you feel it? The whole of creation is excited.
I don't give a hoot,
the owl grumped. Neither do I, replied the fox.
I just want to be left alone.
I know a place where no one will bother you. Come and see. The owl followed the fox into the snowstorm. The fox grinned, revealing his sharp teeth, and leapt at the owl. He flew into the air.
My barn can't be worse than this.
The grumpy owl flew back, and as he flew closer to his barn, he saw a light spilling out of the doorway.
So many noises.
There were sheep baaing, shepherds worshipping, chickens clucking, cows mooing, relatives rejoicing and dancing.
This won't do.
The grumpy owl was now the grumpiest he'd ever been. He waited until everyone had gone. All of a sudden, he heard the low cry of a baby. He looked down, and through the crack in the roof, he could see the baby in the manger. Could it really be true? Was this child the special child, the saviour, the King of Kings? And as he looked into the baby's eyes, something strange began to happen. It was like the baby's gaze reached right into him, melting his ice-cold heart. It must be true. Suddenly, he began to feel something he'd never felt before, a warm feeling he didn't understand. What could it be? Joy. Not wanting to miss out, he flew inside the barn.
The saviour has been born in my barn.
He hooted with joy. He flew throughout the village, inviting all the other animals to come and see. His urge to be left alone had disappeared.
This will do,
he thought. And from that day forward, the grumpy owl wasn't grumpy anymore. Okay, so the message there is don't miss out, isn't it? And make sure that we come to Jesus and experience the joy he wants to give to us. So we're going to sing another song now, which is See Him Lying in a Bed of Straw. And we're going to have the collection through this, please.
A draughty stable and an open door. Mary cradling the babe she bore. The Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, no hurry to Bethlehem to see the Lord of little men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. stoop and rise, conceive the Saviour of the world. Oh, now come we meet at Bethlehem, to see the Lord of beauty man. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Angels sing again a joyous lay, bring the glory to the heart of man. Sing the Bethlehem to the baby can, be the patient to the soul. Oh, now come with me to Bethlehem, to see the Lord, the beautiful man. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Why are wretches for your poverty, on your innocence eternity? My forgiveness for your death for me, child of sorrow, of my joy. Oh, now come we go to Bethlehem, to see the Lord, a little man. Just as poor as was the stable man, the Prince of Glory when he came.
And Father, we just come now and, Lord, we just think of the children that we sponsor. Lord, you know each one of them, which country they are, how they're doing at school, where they are with their families. And Lord, we just thank you that the money that we can bring can be multiplied, and you can do miracles for each one of those children. And Lord, we just thank you that you give us so much, and this is just a token that we can express our love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so before the children go out, I'm going to ask Freya now to come to do the reading for us. Yes? And the reading this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be a barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it to be me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leapt out her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who the one has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Really well read. Thank you. And the last verse was, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then she returned home. So thank you, Freya. And I think the children are going out now. So have a lovely time. Do you want to take the chocolates with you? So, I recently heard a new song written by somebody called Phil Wickham. I don't know how I came to hear it, but it's one that we've been singing before the service today and last Sunday as well. And it's called Manger Throne. And when I heard it for the first time, I was just struck again really hard by what those words mean. The contrast between the Son of God being born in a manger and what he was going to grow up to be, that he was going to be the Son of God and the King of Kings. And he came and pitched his tent among us and just came into our messiness. The stable probably was messy, smelly, certainly noisy, because the owl told us so. So it's just wonderful words that this song has been written, and I hope that you can hear some of the words later on and they will touch you as well. So one of the other favourite songs that I like to sing, not just at Christmas, but is Meekness and Majesty, because I think that's one that we know, and again that sums up what Jesus did and what God did by sending his son. So we're going to sing two songs now, Meekness and Majesty, and then we're going to sing King of Kings. Thank you.
This is your God.
Could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome, showed them the splendour like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in a humble Bethlehem, creator in the arms of common men. And we bring all who are searching, vulnerable, suffering, poor and in need, all who feel rejected, unloved, despised, cast down and cast out, all who are denied food, shelter, education, freedom, work, respect, all who are fearful, oppressed, silenced, tortured, ignored and alone, that they may experience the light, love, hope and joy of Christ in this Advent time. Amen. And just before Jenny comes to preach to us, we're going to sing now, Give Me Joy in My Heart.
Every
joy in my heart, keep me praising. Give me joy in my heart.
Lord, we just thank you for Jenny. Lord, we thank you for what she means to us. We thank you for her servant heart. We thank you for the joy in her heart and her love for you. And Lord, we ask you just to use her this morning and that we might hear your voice. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Comfy. My theme this morning is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And amen. I've got several hands going up here. Who agrees? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Yes. And in the wonderful story of the birth of Jesus, there were so many signs of weakness and anxiety and a fear. And I want to bring to you this morning the stories of two women, of Elizabeth and of Mary. Two very different in character and in circumstance. Elizabeth was married and had been married for many years to a wonderful priest called Zechariah. But their greatest grief was that they bore no children. And poor old Elizabeth was knocking on in years, and we are told in scripture that Zechariah was old and therefore was not able to produce more children. This was a great sadness for them, because in their culture and their belief, if a man and a woman had not produced a child, whether it be a daughter, predominantly a son, then they had not been blessed by God. And had there been something in their lives that God was not pleased with, that he had not allowed them to produce children. Of course, we know in our modern day that is not the case. But in those days, that was the feeling of the heart. And then we're going to look at dear Mary, a very different young woman, young in years, not married, expecting a child. And so as we look at these two women together, and we also will draw in their wonderful men who supported them, who loved them, who never gave up on them, And at this Christmas time, I so want us to honour Mary and Joseph, and also Elizabeth and Zechariah. So off we go. We'll start first of all with Mary. Mary was a very young girl, probably in her middle teens, maybe her late teens. And she was engaged to Joseph. And Joseph was a good man. But then she had the visitation of an angel. Not any angel, the angel Gabriel. Gabriel was the one who stood in the very presence of the throne room of God, who was next in a sense to God. He was God's particular messenger. And Gabriel came and spoke with Mary and told her that she was going to have a child. And immediately her response was, "But Lord, I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How can I possibly have a child?" And he said these lovely words, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive a son, and you will call him Jesus." She had instruction from Gabriel. She was assured by Gabriel that it was God's will that this child would come. And not only that, that this child was going to be the one who would rule the nations. He was going to be the one that the Jews had longed for centuries. He was going to be the Messiah. And she, in her youth, was just a little bit too overcome. But the angel reassured her and assured her. And in the end, she said, "Well, if that's the Lord's will for me, let it be so." And I love this about Mary. First of all, she was frightened. Then she was a bit fearful of what society would think. And then she listened, and she knew that how her people longed for the Saviour of the world to come. And the thought that she possibly could bear him was just mind-blowing. But the beauty of it was, in humility and in trust, she accepted the angel's message. "Be it to me as the Lord wills," she said. And I thought, how lovely, what a gracious spirit in a young woman of that time. And the angel also told her a wonderful thing. "Your cousin Elizabeth, she too is now expecting a child." And Mary's ears popped up and she thought, "Oh, this is great. How has this happened?" And she said, "Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant." What a joy for Elizabeth. What a relief for Zechariah. And so Mary at once went to visit her cousin in another area. And as she went, her feet must have been filled with anticipation and joy for her cousin and Zechariah. Well, when she arrived, a wonderful thing happened. The baby that was in Elizabeth leapt for joy, for in his presence and in her presence was the promised one. And Elizabeth said, from her heart, "This is amazing that the very Son of God should, my Lord's mother, should be here. Why has he blessed me so?" She was so overcome with joy at the response of the child within her. But it all didn't just happen as easy as that. Zechariah was a priest of the temple, a highly respected priest, but there was little words, why hadn't the Lord blessed him with a child? You know what it's like. He was in the temple. He was at a time when he had to take the incense into the temple. And the incense, have you ever been to a Roman Catholic church or to High Church of England, where they sprinkle incense as they walk down the aisle? Yeah, don't breathe too deep because you get flattened. Beautiful scent, wonderful scent, but it can be a bit much at times. But the idea was that they took the incense into the temple. And as the incense was swayed, so prayers were said by Zechariah, who went into the holy part of the temple of sacrifice. He went there himself, and others stayed outside and prayed. And as he swung the incense, they lifted the prayers of the people into the very presence of God. That's the whole idea of the incense, a sweet savour to the Lord. And as he was praying, who should come and meet with him but Gabriel, the same angel that came to see Mary. And he said to him, your wife will be with child, and you are to call him John. He will be the forerunner of the Messiah. The lovely thing about God is that he doesn't plonk us into situations. He puts us where there are others who will support, who will help to lead, who will instruct. And the lovely thing is that as he listened, he couldn't believe it. And he kept saying to the Lord, I can't believe it. You know, I'm old, my wife's mature and not able to conceive. And but the angel persisted with him. And in the end, he still couldn't. He kept questioning. We can question God, by the way. It's not wrong to say, hey, don't understand this. What are you saying to me? Don't be afraid of questioning. But he questioned to such a degree there was unbelief, staggering unbelief. And Gabriel said, you will not speak until your child is born. And when he is born, you are to call him John. Now, what was so important about that? You see, it was the father who chose the name of the child. And it was normally a name that was in the family, perhaps of some years back or generations back, but the honor of the name was carried forward into the next generation. But the angel had instructed Zechariah that he was to call his son John. Gabriel instructed Mary that she was to call her son Jesus, so Joseph would have no choice in the name. So Mary went, and she was so thrilled to be in the company of her cousin. And the baby within Elizabeth was so delighted to meet Mary and the child that was in her. It was a lovely thought that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months before she returned home. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary arrived. Did Mary help with the birth of John? I often wonder, the closeness of John and the importance of John to Jesus was quite strong. But poor Mary had to go back to her hometown and let Joseph know what was happening. I felt sorry for Joseph when I read this and thought about it, not only today, of course, but over the years. It was such a disgrace for an unmarried mother to be present in that society. And here was the woman, the young girl he loved, the one he'd promised to marry. They were engaged, they were promised to each other, and the engagement of the Jewish people at that time was as good as a marriage. It was a complete firm promise. There was no backing out. But they didn't come together until the actual marriage service. And so he felt quite heartbroken that Mary had disgraced him, that Mary had disgraced herself in his eyes. But who should come and speak with him but Gabriel? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is in her is holy and is of God. And he listened. And I love Joseph. He listened. He didn't question. And in humility, he accepted. What a relief for Mary. When she left Elizabeth, she had been with her 3 months. Was Mary 3 months pregnant? And Joseph, He said, as before he knew the truth of it all, he thought, well, look, I won't disgrace her. I'll divorce her. I'll annul the engagement. But thank goodness he listened. He understood, and he received the truth and took Mary to be his wife. So that is the background, to a degree, of the coming of Jesus in history to earth. John was such an important man. He was the forerunner to Jesus. I don't think we do read our scriptures sometimes so casually. We like the stories and we leave them there. But John, he must have been orphaned very young in life. So what happened to him? He went to live with people in the desert. He was a man who never knew what it was to drink alcohol. He was a man who kept himself very pure and straight before God. And as he developed in life, he went and he began to preach in the wilderness. I've seen Dartmoor, I've seen Exmoor, but I have not seen the wilderness that John lived in. I've been to Ayers Rock, so I've seen that desert there, which was quite something for some miles. But that wilderness that John preached in, away from all society, but with a group of people who were very much godly centered, prepared him to be the forerunner of Jesus. And you know, John had many hundreds, if not thousands, of disciples. Think of that. We just think of him as a man dobbing people in the river, don't we? But no, he drew people to God. Repent of your sins, return to God, and he baptized them. That's why we know him as John the Baptist. And as the people went down into the water and came up, they were refreshed and they trusted in God and they moved forward as godly people. And he was the one, in a sense, who was proclaiming the coming of Jesus. And in time, of course, when Jesus did come to him, he saw him in the crowd and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." What I have drawn from these characters is the amazing thing that when God calls us to follow Christ, who is both our Saviour first, Jesus being Saviour, and he's Lord of our lives. If it's Lord of our lives, he's the one whom we obey, whom we follow, whom we love, and who brings us ultimate joy in how we live. But he supplies for us someone like John, someone who will come alongside us when we're going through difficult times, a person who will be with us when we are questioning our faith. Like John came alongside Jesus, so God places us, calls us for a task. For Mary, the task was that great task of bringing Christ into the world. For John, it was telling of that Saviour, preparing the world for him. And today, we have the joy of knowing that God, when he calls us to follow, he equips us by supplying us with people like, look at each other. Oh, you know, we all face forward, but do look at each other and thank God for each other. For I am sure that at different times of our lives, in this fellowship, people have come alongside us and said, "Come on, lass," or "Come on, fellow, keep going, it's okay, you'll be fine." And people who come along, like John came and proclaimed Christ, people come and guide us in our walk with Christ. So this Christmas, I want us, if we may, to really concentrate on the joy that knowing Christ brings, and reflect that joy first in our families, in our homes, in our fellowship one with another, and let not anyone take away the joy of Christ at Christmas time, and of course, all year through. Amen. A little bit of paper. We're going to sing that lovely carol, "Once in Royal David's City." Thank you, folks.
childhood pattern, day by day, like us he grew. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles, like us he knew.
Advent represents joy. And when we come to the Lord's table to celebrate his death, how can we possibly come around this table with joy? We can because we know the outcome. Because Jesus had courage, had conviction, and above all had obedience to his Father. He came knowing that he would have to give his life for the sake of the peoples of the world. Whenever I come to receive communion, I find in my heart a gratitude to Jesus for the great obedience that he had, and the love that overspilled after his death to the people who understood what this sacrifice meant. And so as we come this morning together to receive the bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, his suffering, and the blood as we drink the wine, and so we drink the wine and remember that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I just think the more we can take that into our hearts and minds and believe it and live it and thank God for it, so our lives will be filled with joy. And so let us come now. And I would invite you to eat the bread as you receive it, and hold the little cup, that we might drink together as one. For although we are from one loaf, we are many. Isn't that lovely? So let's give thanks for the bread. Our Father God, we come again to this holy table, and we hold in our hands bread that represents the broken body of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that as we eat this bread, so we will confess our need of him, confess those things that have grieved your spirit, and ask again for your forgiveness and for your renewing and for your infilling of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So may I ask the stewards to come? Many thanks. Thank you. Oh yes, don't forget the bickies for the children. In a similar manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Take, drink, all of you, in remembrance of me." And so as we receive the wine, we will hold it and we will drink it together as the body of Christ. As the blood of Christ flowed out of Jesus, so his life ebbed away. But as the blood of Christ flows into us, so we are renewed. And we are made full of his joy and full of thanksgiving for so wonderful a salvation. Thank you. As we hold this cup together, let us ponder for a minute the cost of our salvation, but let us also with joy know the result of his sacrifice. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for the joy you bring at this Christmas period of time. May this joy spread not only throughout this fellowship, but throughout the community and the world in which we live, that more and more people may experience the joy of forgiveness and the wonder of knowing the Saviour of the world, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. To bring our service to a close, we're going to sing a very lovely song, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." And the wonder is that he came for the peoples of the world. And I just love this international saviour. He did not come to redeem all. He came to redeem many, of which, praise God, we are part. But oh, if only Christ could be made known more, more people would come, and we would have the joy of welcoming them into our family, the family of Christ. So make him known as you go out from here. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
With truth and grace, and then
Lord, we ask that we might go out with hope in our hearts and peace and joy, that we might reflect the wonder of your love. And so, Lord, by the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, send us out and let us be effective in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you to Freya for reading. Good stuff.